This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Do you know how to win friends and influence people? There is a book that's been out for a long, long time by Dale Carnegie. And I've been doing a series, and this is the end of the series. And I just want to let you know that, yes, it is biblical. Yes, we are going to talk about biblical principles to back this up. I don't know about you, but I want to be liked. Do you want to be liked? You know, sometimes people don't want to say that they want to be liked, but I think everyone on this earth wants to be liked. And some people feel very uncomfortable because they don't know how to make that happen. And if you're put in a position, which we all are to some degree or another, I believe, of leadership, we all have somebody watching us, no matter what position we are holding currently. And with that, we need to, you know, take note that there are people watching us. And also, do you know the position you have? Do you know the purpose that God has created you for? If you don't, there are things you can do. There's books you can read. There's tests you can take to find out a little bit more about this. Simple version of that would be, what are you good at? What do you like doing? What's your passion? If you evaluate those things and you ask those questions, you're going to come up with at least some direction on which you should continue. You know, we can build up the negatives in ourselves and in our employees and in other people that we're involved in. We can work on the weakest link, and we can work on how to improve upon something that needs to get improved upon. But I'm finding more and more that it's much better to rejoice and to celebrate in the gifts that we have and to work in those gifts. It's really refreshing to know that we can do that. And if we build upon those items, we are going to feel better about ourselves. We are going to produce more for those that are expecting us to produce for them. And all in all, it's just going to be a happier life that we're going to live if we do that. Now, saying that, as a leader, there's times when we become uncomfortable because there's things that we have to do because we're required to make this decision or make this happen somehow. So it's not always fun. It's not always exciting. But there are ways of getting other people to come alongside you to help you with whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. So today's whole show is about leadership. But leadership comes in a lot of different forms. As a mother, we're leading our children. As a sister, we could be leading a non-believer. You know, anywhere we go, there's somebody maybe watching what we're doing and how we act, how we respond to any given situation. If you're just tuning in right now, you are tuning in to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you, San Diego, KPRZ, for tuning in. I really appreciate that. And up north as well. It's so wonderful to be syndicated and to go up and down the coast. But also, now with the internet, we can be heard anywhere, and it's really nice that that can happen. If you hear something here that you feel would be significant or be of help or encouragement or inspiration even to somebody that you know and love, then I would suggest you let them know that they or you can go to SueFreeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com. When you go there, there are 4 years of podcasts, and you can pick it, any podcast that you want to listen to, and it's by subject, by date, by guest. A lot of times I have guests on here. A lot of the times they're ministries, and we all should be involved in some type of ministry somewhere. So if you don't have one, maybe that's a good place to go and listen to ministries and find out where you might fit. So we're talking about leadership today, and I'm reading out of a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and I will back these things up with scripture. For instance, Matthew 20:26. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And that is so true. It is so true. And our heart has to be in the right place when we are doing things for God and when we're doing things for other people. So we have to check ourselves. And I started a little while ago and I said, do you know what position you hold and what position you're created to fulfill? And I think some of us take that lightly. We don't realize just the impact that our words, our actions can have. And I think we should take note and pay attention to those things on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. And I guarantee you that when you start paying attention to the words that you speak out of your mouth, that could be either edifying or tear down, that you're going to find that it will change you because you're going to notice, you're going to be more aware. So I recommend that highly, that you do that. The next scripture here is begin with praise and appreciation. Paul always began his letters by giving thanks to God for the church he was writing to. In Colossians 1:3-4, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. You know, when I was an early Christian, I was wondering how to pray. You know, what is there a right and a wrong way to pray? And what I can tell you is that you should always start with what? Begin with praise and appreciation. To who? To Jesus, for what he has done for you and for those that you love. Even in our circumstances, we need to give thanks in all things. So I highly recommend that when you're praying, start there. Start with thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being who you are, right? I don't know why I said that. That wasn't part of my script, wasn't part of where I was going, but I guess we needed to hear that. So moving forward, I'm going to talk to you about ways that we can help in our leadership, because there are things that we can do that can cause people to not want to follow, and there's other things we can do that can encourage them to want to follow. And one of them is, the first one is, if you must find fault, this is the way to begin. That's a chapter in this book. I put Oreo next to it because it's always best that when you're going to find fault, that you start with something good and you put whatever it is you want to have focus on as far as improvement and then end with good. So some of you know that already and you're going, yeah, I know that already. And so some of you don't. So that's for those that don't. But maybe knowing it and doing it are two different things, right? You can know these things, and you can say, yeah, I know all that. But if you're not doing it, maybe you're not the best leader you could be. So I'm going through this because I'm listening to myself. This is for me, too, because I am a leader. And, you know, it's a responsibility that I don't take lightly. I have 64 employees now, and it's growing, and thank you, God, for that. Sometimes I don't feel very blessed because, it, you know, with people comes more issues, more problems that need to be solved. But I feel that my ministry is growing and God's ministry is growing because I have more people that are working alongside me at Ecola, and I'm very grateful and very thankful for every single employee that's working alongside me at Ecola. And number two was how to criticize and not be hated for it. You know, nobody enjoys criticism. I know I don't. Do you? But to not be hated for it means that there is a right and a wrong way to do anything and everything that we do. So let's learn how we can be do things more easily accepted, and we get better results that way. So I'm going to read from the book. It says, simply changing one three-letter word can often spell the difference between failure and success in changing people without giving offense or arousing resentment. Many people begin their criticism with sincere praise, followed by the word but, and ending with a critical statement. For example, in trying to change a child's careless attitude towards studies, we might say, we're really proud of you, Johnny, for raising your grades this term. But if you had worked harder on your algebra, the results would have been better. This could be easily overcome by changing the word but to what? To and. Think about that. We're really proud of you, Johnny, for raising your grades this term, and by continuing the same conscientious efforts next term, your algebra grade can be up with all the others. So there's one golden nugget for you right there in any situation, whether you're a parent and you're trying to deal with your children, you're a leader in business, anything that you're doing, if you are using the word but, which I do, I'm guilty of this. Boy, am I guilty. Yeah, but. I'm guilty. But I know for me, just hearing that, I already knew this, but I'm not. Oh, there it is again. And I'm going to get better at this. How about that? See, I'm putting it into action. It's one thing to learn something and to know something. It's another thing to put it into action, right? Are you all words? And what speaks louder? Do your actions speak louder than your words? Okay, so that's really good, isn't it? Okay, so the next one is talk about your own mistakes. Ooh, I just did that, didn't I? I talked about me. I humbled me and said, yep, I say but. And I'm going to start saying and. And when we do that as leaders, I think it makes us a little more approachable. Would you agree? It makes us a little more approachable. And I don't know about you, but if I want to be liked, then I want to be approachable. So think about that next time you're in a situation where you're going to use but or and. And, you know, be humble enough, humble yourself enough to accept your responsibility of if you make a mistake, okay? Admit it, no problem. You know, lightning's not going to strike, so just admit it, right? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we are talking about leadership and how to be a good leader, because in some way, shape, or form, you are leading somebody. So talking about your own mistakes. Okay, enough said about that, all right? I don't like to dwell on the mistake thing. So we'll move right on. And the next one is no one likes to take orders. That is so true. When I was planning this show, I was asking myself in the elevator. I do a lot of thinking in the elevator and brushing my teeth. It's really funny. And the Lord seems to answer me there. Anyway, I'm asking the Lord and I'm saying, okay, we're talking about leadership. What is the most important thing regarding leadership? And as I was going from parking 5 to 1, something came to me. Is that it's the questions that you ask. We have to get really good at asking the right questions. But that's not the best part. The Lord said something to me right then and there when I was talking about questions, because I, side note, is I just went to the eye surgeon again yesterday because my eye is not healing. And so I'm in a lot of pain, and it's a nagging pain, and it's like torture. And I went to a third, I wanted to get a third opinion. And I went to a third opinion and found out that I should not have had the surgery to begin with, and that it got botched, and that my eye will never be the same, and I'm never going to have my eye the way it used to be. And that upsets me quite a bit. And so with that, I'm saying, okay, I did research, I did ask questions, and I didn't ask enough, I didn't dive down deep enough. And in leadership, we need to really, really dive in and make sure, especially if it's a big decision like your eye, we need to make sure that we've got all the information we possibly could have, and, you know, what are the pros, what are the cons, and really do due diligence. And I'm kicking myself, and I have this ongoing reminder that I didn't do that as well as I could have done when it came to my eye and my eyesight. And now to go in and try to repair it can cause cataracts, can cause more damage, and even more aesthetically not pretty eye. So I'm not real happy right now, and I feel I could kick myself for not being a better question asker. I'm in the elevator and I'm thinking, you know, leadership comes with lots of questions. You need to ask the right questions. In sales, you have to ask the right questions. Why? And then it came to me, there was this picture, and I broke down the word question into quest, right? The first part is quest, and the second part is eye on. So if you break that down and say eye on quest, do you get where I'm going? The Lord revealed that to me, that whenever you are asking questions, you have a quest, and you have to keep your eye and your heart and your mind focused on whatever the quest is. So when your quest is to be a better husband or a better wife or a better mother or father, if that's your quest, then you need to keep your eye on and listen carefully to the question and the answer. Eye on quest. Very good. Isn't that amazing? Frank, that's for you. And you get what I'm saying there. Eye on quest. I met him in the elevator and I told him, I gave him a little teaser. I said, I'm not going to give you what I'm thinking right now because you need to listen to my show. So Frank Sontag, you listen to my show. There you go. So ask questions instead of giving direct orders. Ask questions. This is the one that it says in the book. And I'm going to read from the book again. It says, is there anything we can do to handle this order? Can anyone think of different ways to process it through the shop that will make it possible to take the order? Is there any way to adjust our hours or personnel assignments that would help? The employees came up with many ideas and insisted that he take the order. They approached it with a we can do it attitude, and the order was accepted, produced, and delivered on time. An effective leader will use ask questions instead of giving direct orders. You know, the same thing applies to being a good father. You know, we can sit there and say, do what I say, don't do what I do, right? We can say, take out the trash, and we can give orders. Or we can come up with a way of saying, you know, we're all part of this family, and we all have duties that we need to do in order to make this family run smoothly. You know, have a family meeting. Whatever it takes, but we need to teach our children responsibility. And part of that is ownership of, you know, what part are they going to play into the family situation. I think it's really important that we don't do everything for our children. Okay, and if any kids are listening, don't get mad at me. Don't shoot the messenger. Just, it's true, is that we need to be responsible. And if we're training our children in the way they shall go so they will not perish, that's not only with our godly thought process and scriptures and knowing what God would do in any given situation, but it's also how to function in a working world. What would happen if this child was in the situation in a working world? How would that be handled? And if we can help them with what they're going to come up against when they get into the real world, aren't we doing them a favor? We always have to be thinking about the big picture. And if we're thinking about our children becoming adults and we want them to be able to handle whatever comes at them as much as possible, then when we are disciplining them when they're little, it's really important that we think about the big picture. Right? Lying, cheating, stealing. Those are the big ones. But what about the little ones, like letting somebody go first or serving one another? That's not so little. That's pretty big. But you get what I'm putting down. I hope you do. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I am so happy you're joining us today. And if this is your first time, please, please go on my website, SueFree, spelt like fries, one word.com. I really, really encourage you to go on there. And today I've got a special item that you can get. It's 10 Bible verses every small business owner needs. And not only does this apply to business owners, this applies to anyone and everyone. And I give these little things where you go on to my website, you go to Helping Hands, and you can download these things. And they're very helpful. And I just love to give. Okay, it's a good thing to give. Another one is, you know, I talked about talking about your own mistakes back, and I want to give you a scripture that goes with that. Matthew 7:3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You know, when we pass judgment and we point fingers, we really need to think about that. The other one is throwing stones when you live in a glass house. I like that one. I think that's a great one. Let the other person save face. That's the next one that's here. And you know, even in marriage situations, you know, we don't have to always point out faults. We don't always have to say you did this and whatnot. You know, let's let each other save face. How to spur people on to success. That's the next one. This is principle number 6. Praise the slightest improvement and praise every improvement. Be hearty in your approbation and lavish in your praise. Criticize in private and praise in public. You know, I can talk about this a little bit because in my own work life this week, I actually had a manager and I was so frustrated because I found out a lot of things. And I actually had a employee next to the manager and I was talking to the manager about things that should have been handled differently. And afterwards, I knew in my gut that I did a wrong thing. I was in the moment and I knew that I know the principle here. And I know what's right, and I didn't do what was right. I had a whole weekend to think about it and feel bad about it, actually, that on Monday in front of all of my staff, some that weren't present during the whole ordeal, and I asked for forgiveness. And, you know, that takes a lot for some leaders to ask forgiveness and to admit that they've made a mistake. But I believe that that's part of being human. And it's part of people realizing that we all can make mistakes. And if we ask for forgiveness, then, you know, I think that I'm teaching even in my own mistakes, my own negativity, I'm teaching others on how to handle, even if I didn't handle it right to begin with. I think I made a wrong or right, or at least I attempted to. Now, everyone has a right and an obligation to themselves on whether they're going to accept responsibility to give forgiveness or not. And if, by the way, if you're harboring unforgiveness, I'm going to tell you right now that you're the one that's suffering the most. You think maybe that you're vengeful or that you're, you know, somehow harming the other person that did you wrong, but I can tell you that you're doing yourself wrong. And the best thing you can do is to make a decision, even if you don't feel like it, to make a decision to forgive. And even when it doesn't feel like, you don't feel like forgiving, that once you do that and you make a conscious effort to forgive, something happens in the spirit world and you will be freed from this and you can move on. And I can tell you from experience, it's not an easy thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do if you want to have the fullness of life. And you know, God tells us that we need to forgive. We need to forgive one another. So give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. This one's really good. In the book, it talks about give a dog a good name. And I thought that was kind of a cute title. And I'm going to read this out of the book. When Mrs. Ruth Hopkins, a fourth grade teacher in Brooklyn, New York, looked at her class roster the first day of school, her excitement and joy of starting a new term was tinged with anxiety. In her class, this year, she would have Tommy T, the school's most notorious bad boy. His third grade teacher had constantly complained about Tommy to colleagues, the principal, and anyone else who would listen. He was not just mischievous. He caused serious discipline problems in the class, picked fights with the boys, teased the girls, was fresh to the teacher, and seemed to get worse as he grew older. His only redeeming feature was his ability to learn rapidly and master the schoolwork easily. Mrs. Hopkins decided to face the Tommy problem immediately. When she greeted her new students, she made little comments to each of them. Rose, that's a pretty dress you are wearing. Alicia, I hear you draw beautifully. When she came to Tommy, she looked at him straight in the eyes and said, Tommy, I understand you are a natural leader. I'm going to depend on you to help me make this class the best class in the fourth grade this year. She reinforced this over the first few days of complimenting Tommy on everything he did and commenting on how this showed what a good student he was. With that reputation to live up to, even a 9-year-old couldn't let her down, and he didn't. If you want to excel in that difficult leadership role of changing the attitude or behavior of others, give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. Man, that is so good, isn't it? That is so good. You know, I've been told before, I mean, this has been said to me before, that you speak to people and to things as if they already are. And so if we do that with people, if there's something that you want something to change or you want to build somebody up in an area that you know that they're capable, but you need to speak into their lives. And we can do this negatively or positively. And I don't know about you, but as a mother especially, you know, I had a mother one time that I heard her say, oh, you live like a pig, or, you know, it's such a pigsty in here. You know, you need to clean your room. I think there's positive ways that we can say the same thing and get better results. And so let's just take note of the words that we speak and make sure that we're speaking into people's lives in a positive way and speak above maybe what you want to have happen and talk them into it. Speak into their lives and speak them into something grander and bigger than what they already are. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do? So let's try to do that. Can we do that? I'm with you. Can you please connect with me on the Sue Free site? I really, really, really want you to connect with me, and there's so much there for you to connect with. So again, it's Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. Connect with me there, could you? Thank you so much. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. We couldn't be here without you. And, you know, if you are interested in being part of sponsorship, please contact me. I would love to have you on the show as a sponsor. It would be great. And we would love that. And Learning to Breathe book, if you want that, you can go to SueFreeze, spell like fries, one word, .com, and you can order it there. And if you order it there, then I could, if you want, autograph it for you and give you a little bit of, I could say something to you. Anyway, so we were talking about leadership, talking about a lot of things, but leadership mostly, and a scripture that comes to mind going along with give the other person a fine reputation to live up to. That's a really good one, and it's not something we think about all the time, is it? But it's a really good one to do. 1 Corinthians 1:4-9. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. With all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. Number 8 was make the fault seem easy to correct. You know, we can harbor on things and we can, you know, just really get down and hash out on something. Or we can just make the fault seem easy to correct. And you know, a lot of things are easy to correct. We sometimes make things more difficult than they need to be, don't you think? And the next one is making people glad to do what you want. There's a trick. That's awesome, isn't it? So how do you do that? Are you ready? Here's what the book says. Be sincere. Do not promise anything that you cannot deliver. Forget about the benefits to yourself and concentrate on the benefits to the other person. Know exactly what it is you want the other person to do. Be empathetic. Ask yourself what it is the other person really wants. Isn't that the same thing as quest, eye on quest? Asking the right questions so that you know what's needed, knowing what's wanted, and then you can go forward from there, right? That's exactly what we're talking about. Consider the benefits that person will receive from doing what you suggest. That feels good, doesn't it? Match those benefits to the other person's wants. When you make your request, put it in a form that will convey to the other person the idea that he personally will benefit. We could give a curt order like this, John, we have customers coming in tomorrow and I need the stockroom cleaned out, so sweep it out, put the stock in neat piles on the shelves, and polish the counter. Or we could express the same idea by showing John the benefits he will get from doing the task. John, we have a job that should be completed right away. If it is done now, we won't be faced with it later. I am bringing some customers in tomorrow to show our facilities. I would like to show them the stockroom, but it is in poor shape. If you could sweep it out, put the stock in neat piles on the shelves, and polish the counter, it would make us look efficient, and you will have done your part to provide a good company image. I don't know about you, but if my boss came and asked like that, I would want to do everything in my power to make that happen. How about you? Sometimes it's the manner in which we ask, right? So we need to be thinking about how we're asking. Timing's important too. And I would be happy if somebody asked me, you know, to do something in that manner. And I just took note because I have somebody that needs to do something for me, and I haven't been able to get what I want out of this one person. I'm thinking, okay, where am I failing? What am I doing wrong? How could I do it different to where it would feel good on both parts? And I'm not sure where that is, but I'm, you know, now that I've just listened to me tell you what this book is saying, I'm going to take some of that. I'm going to heed the direction and hopefully take action and not just listen, but actually do. Okay? That's what we need to be. We need to be doers of the word, not just thinkers and not just learners of the word, but we need to be doers of the word. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you, San Diegans, for tuning in with me and up north also, and really all over the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. So, five basic principles for leadership. Leaders lead. It sounds so simple, and yet we make it seem so complex. I do think it is beneficial to occasionally go back and review the basics. Being an enthusiastic college basketball fan, this is from a fan, I marvel at how often great teams actually execute the basics the best. So for aspiring and seasoned leaders, reviewing and practicing the basics will help us become strong performers. You know, side note on that is, you know, sometimes when in anything we're doing in life, we have to go back to the basics. I'm a dancer, and sometimes I have to go back to the basics, and something you gain from that. And I don't know about you, if you are a Bible reader, hopefully you are, but no matter where you are in your life, you can read a chapter or even a scripture today, or let's say 5 years ago, and you can go back today and read that same scripture, and it's going to have a whole new meaning to you. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? You're experiencing what I've experienced, is that, you know, our life and our emotions, sometimes when we're diving in and we're learning more about ourselves and the Lord reveals more about us and our spiritual world becomes more. Hopefully that's our goal, right? That's our quest, is to be more like Christ and to learn more about who He is and who we are in Him. And as we do that, it's like an onion and you're pulling layers off of this onion. And as you do that, new things are revealed to you. And, you know, when you go from, you know, milk to meat in the spiritual world, you know, we start out and you're a new Christian and you're getting the milk and you're getting the, you know, the first layer, and then you get deeper and deeper. And anything you do in life, for instance, for me, for horses, you know, I thought I was really good because I ran a stables of 25 horses. I'd get up early in the morning, I'd saddle them all, I'd brush them all, I'd feed them, and I'd put these people on and I'd do these horse guides. And, I always thought I was pretty good, but as I grew more in knowledge of horses, I realized just how much I didn't know. And isn't that true with most things? Is that as you dive in and you delve into things and you get deeper into anything, you realize just how much you don't know. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? And in Scripture, as we dig deeper, the Lord reveals new things when we're ready to receive them. And we will see things, we will hear things, there's things that happen. And I don't know about you, but I want all God has for me. Do you want everything God has for you? And how do you do that? Sometimes it's as easy as going back to the basics. The following are five basics worth remembering and practicing for leadership. You have to know that leaders influence. Leaders think about the big picture and help others to see the future. Leaders create vision and direction. Leaders motivate others to unite around their vision and direction. Leaders challenge and expect aspiring leaders to grow to a greater level of influence. And when much is given, much is required. And so you have to know that, you know, there's sacrifices that come along with responsibilities. Leaders mentor is number two. Leaders develop the strengths of others. And that old saying, the more people you help, you know, you'll get where you're going as a leader, the more people you help. And I think that's so true. The more people you serve. Leaders help others achieve success. And, you know, that word success is different for everyone. You know, what is your definition. What does success look like to you? You know, asking the right question is really key, isn't it? Quest. I on quest. I love that. That was given to me today by the Lord Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. Leaders spend time building mentoring relationships to counsel, coach, and challenge. Now, hear that. Leaders spend time. Time. That is one of those things that, you know, leaders don't have much of. So to spend time building mentoring relationships to counsel, coach, and challenge, that's a sacrifice, right? And we always have to be thinking about where should we spend our time. Leaders speak with conviction. Leaders lead based on principles and convictions. Leaders lead with passion and enthusiasm. Leaders are hopeful and have strong faith in the future. That's a really big one, right? Because there's a lot of things coming at us as leaders. There's a lot of things coming at us. And, you know, we can, if we allow, we can let these darts kind of puncture us and wound us and cause us to walk slower, get an attitude of defeat, even let Satan in there just even a little bit. And, you know, Satan doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to win lives. He doesn't want us to encourage others to gain relationship with the Lord. And those that are winning the most over have the most attack. So when these attacks come on you, it's really important to understand that that's exactly what they are. And it's, you're fighting this war of principalities and spiritual warfare. It's not always the people. It's something deeper and more than that. And as leaders, sometimes we can forget that. We can forget that it's not of this world, that it's something more. And when we put the full armor of God on and we shield ourselves and we just keep our faith strong and our belief strong that God has us, that God is there, and as we walk through the fire, that God's there. Sometimes it's hard to remember that in the heat of the moment. So just understand, leaders, that, you know, we've already won the battle. And that's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? And sometimes we have to scream that out. We have to yell that out and just tell the Satan to just get behind us and rebuke him. And those thoughts that come over our minds, sometimes I have to stop and say, I rebuke that thought. I rebuke that feeling I'm feeling right now. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. And it's amazing that when I do that out loud, did you know that the devil cannot hear your thoughts? He can't hear your thoughts, but he does hear every word that you speak. So guard your mouth, guard what you're thinking, but guard what you're saying. It's very important. Leaders are hopeful and have strong faith in the future. That's what I read before I went on to that, and it's true. We do have to, and sometimes we have to be reminded that we have God, and he is our strength. Leaders know the importance of organizational history and telling stories to marry the past, present, and future. You know, sometimes we get caught up and say, I tried that, it didn't work. Or, you know, sometimes we're, you know, at a new place and there's new things coming up, but we've tried something before and it failed. Sometimes it's not the idea that fails. Sometimes it's the timing that can fail. Even in relationships, sometimes it's our presentation. Sometimes it's our timing that, you know, we want to get somewhere in this relationship, or we want to get somewhere in this conversation, or we want to have success in something, and we don't get there because we're not paying attention, or maybe we don't have eye on quest. Maybe we're not asking the right questions. And it's really, really, really important to ask the right questions in any element, any area of your life, any relationship you have. But, you know, there comes a fear when we ask questions. The fear is we're not going to want to hear what's going to be said back, right? We have to guard ourselves a little bit. But I have to tell you that, you know, I've said this before in other shows, and this is another one that I love, is intimacy. I think everybody thrives, everybody wants and desires to have intimate relationships. And I'm not talking romantic, passionate. I'm not going there. I'm going intimate. And the word intimate, I had this explained. I can't take credit, but I love it, and I'm going to keep using it, is in to me see. intimacy. It's kind of like question, I on quest, into me see. If we really desire intimacy, we have to let our guard down, don't we? We have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, because you can't get intimate unless you're real. And it is difficult, especially if you've been hurt. And believe me, I know what this feels like. Everybody has a different level of pain and hurt and what they've been through. But I can tell you there's healing and there's power in being freed from all of that. If you have not freed yourself, if you've not allowed yourself the freedom to expose and be vulnerable, make sure it's in a safe place. And that's a really big one. Make sure you're in a safe place to make this happen. But I can tell you there, you can rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then 4:6 is be anxious for nothing. That's a really big scripture for me, because I tend to get anxious. I'm very high energy, and I get excited easy, and I'm passionate about lots of things. I think it's a good thing, but somebody walking alongside me might get exhausted because I'm high energy. But that is who I am, and I embrace it, and I celebrate it. And you are who you are, and I'm telling you right now, celebrate who you are. If there's something, if you look in the mirror and there's something you're not happy with within you, you have a choice right here, right now, to make a change in that. And I'm encouraging you to do so, because we only have so many hours and so many days left in our lives here on this earth. And we want to get the most out of it. And we want to do the most and be the most and make a significant difference in other people's lives. But we have to start with us. We have to get us straightened out as much as possible. And we have to ask the Lord to clean us and groom us and make that happen. So wherever you are in this walk, in this journey, I just recommend that I want for you, and so does the Lord, for you to have the fullness of joy. The book of Philippians, it's the joy book. Go there, read it. Number 4, leaders lead from their strength zone. Leaders assess their strength zone and operate within it. Leaders become who God has wired them to be. Leaders focus on developing their own strengths. That's what I was talking about at the beginning, is that, you know, we can focus on our negatives, we can, and we can work on those and bring those up. But our real strengths is where we need to thrive. It's where we need to work, because that's what's going to do the most good. Leaders spend time taking their strengths, talents, and giftedness to new levels. I'm encouraging you, and I want to be an inspirer. I want to inspire you to do more, be more for you, for those that you're leading, for those that are following you that you don't even know are following you, and for the Lord, the gifts that the Lord has given you, the purpose He created you for. That's a quest, isn't it? Just to ask God, God, why did you make me? You know, I'm wired this way. You've designed me this way for a reason. Please, Lord, reveal to me what my purpose is here on this earth, and open the doors that are going to help me be what you've created me to be and to do what you've created me to do, and close those doors that are distractions from your quest, from what you want me to be. Close those doors, Lord Jesus. Open the doors that need to be opened. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Number 5 is leaders read. Read the word faithfully. What does that mean? Read the word faithfully. I have a new focus. And each of us has to decide our goals. Each of us needs to decide what we're able to do. And it takes 21 days to establish a habit. Did you know that? 21 days to establish a habit. And so if you want to create a new habit, you have to start somewhere. So why not today? And you have to ask yourself the question, what's important? You know, because we can have a lot of things on that list, and, you know, we'll get to some and then they'll drop off one by one. But you have to know what your most important goals are and priorities are, so that when other distractions come your way, you can say, I know I would like to do that, but it's not one of the top 5 or top 3. And, you know, we are really good. You know, we can get a lot done in a day, but time does run out. So let's focus on the things that God created us, that we're supposed to do, the strengths in which we're supposed to work in. And let's make sure, let's ask ourselves this question. I do this at my office, is that, is there somebody else in my office that could do this job? Is there somebody else that's more gifted in this area that could get this done quicker than me, or even this other person in my next office over? And I want everybody in my organization to ask that question, because if I have 2 people that could do the job and one is more gifted in that area, who do you think is going to get that done quicker? Who do you think is going to get it done better? It's an obvious answer, isn't it? But sometimes we don't ask that question. There we go with that question again. So read the word faithfully. Next is read articles and books on leadership. Because if we are called to be a leader, we need to be the best leader we can be. And so we have to look for books and people that we want to have mentor us. And books can be a mentor too. But those relationships, you know, surround yourself with the people that you want to surround yourself with, that you want to be like, okay? Because things rub off. You don't even know what's rubbing off, but things rub off. And birds of a feather flock together. My mother used to always tell me that. And this is so true. And so children, you know, moms, you know, help your children pick, choose their friends. Don't let the friends choose your children. There's another little word, a tidbit from one mother to another. My kids have turned out really well, and I'm so proud of both of them. I have Tyson, who's 32, very well-established, well-rounded, giving, kind, loving man. And I have a daughter who she's now working for a Christian school that she started preschool in. It's just so neat, the circle. And I'm so proud of both of my children and what they've become in their hearts and their love for the Lord. And I just thank both of them for becoming the wonderful adults that they've become. And I love them so much. And my mother-in-law, who's my favorite fan, who's just been such an integral part of my life. She's very bold in her statements. She says it like it is, boy, I'll tell you. There's no getting around it with her. She just says it like it is, and I just love her for it. And she's probably one of the most godly women I've ever met, and she's ministered to me, and she doesn't even know how she's ministered to me. My sister-in-law, same thing. Very loving, kind, giving woman, flight attendant who works very hard. My little sister, who's just such a blessing and such probably my biggest support. She's just always there, doesn't judge, just loves. These are the people in my life that I just am so thankful for. And you know, you have people in your life that you're thankful for. And I highly recommend that you don't just admire them from afar, but that you make a conscious effort to inspire them to be more and just let them know how much you love them and care for them. Read current events. Leaders read current events. And leaders read biographies and classics. Why? Because you want to learn from these people. And how did they become the people? What obstacles were in their paths? And how did they, what was their attitude? How did they get through these things? And to see God in these stories. It's amazing to see God in these stories. It's amazing, you know. And Jesus, he talked in parables. Why? Because stories make people get emotional. It connects people on an emotional level. And so when you want to have people connect on an emotional level, which I think emotional is much better than the head knowledge. So many people in the religious sectors that are religious, I don't say that I'm religious. I say I'm spiritual. Why? Because I'm in the heart. And yes, I do have a brain and I use it and I have to use it. I'm forced to use it and to ask those questions. But it's the heart matters. It's where that's where change happens, is in the heart. When you get emotional change, when you get tears rolling down the eyes, I know the Holy Spirit is there and the Holy Spirit is moving. And last but not least is for leaders to read for fun. You know, my heart goes out to you that are suffering and going through trials and tribulations. And for those of you that are feeling joy, I thank the Lord right with you that you're feeling that joy. Be a blessing to someone each and every day, no matter where you are. Give God the glory and give God thanks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week, God bless.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.